Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Naomi Reardon from Australia. Right there, brains. I try to get my fingers right. I do, because, you know, everything is flipped, much like life. And you know what? She's going to talk to us about something very peaceful, very wholesome, and something that we all need. She tells me that she has a scientific-based technology for removing negative stress with kindness. It seems so simple, but it's not. People are challenged every day just to say a kind word, just to have a kind thought. So she has some technology that is really going to help us expedite those feelings and those emotions and extract the stress from our lives. It's so much pain and anxiety, and we're still all thawing out from this COVID experience. So I can't wait to hear what she has to say. And Naomi Reardon from Australia, welcome, baby, to On the Edge. Where are you at?
Hey, thank you. Well, I live in South Australia, but I'm actually living in Cairns, Queensland at the moment. So,
and so what is this place right here? What do we do here? This is the place where?
Oh, yeah. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull.
Brains, I'm telling you, you're going to get an extra prize for that. Be sure I get your address one more time, because, you know, she knows where she's at, okay? Tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, so yeah, it's always a bit hard to talk about yourself sometimes, isn't it? So,
no.
Well, it is for me, you know, like once upon a time, I could never have done this. So, they say you teach what you need to learn. So, I was quite a highly stressed person, but now I've learned how not to be a highly stressed person and how to enjoy life a little bit more and be a bit more real and authentic. So, I have been a nurse since 1987, so they're a long time. I am a mother of three children, three awesome girls who are all now technically adults, but I think they never stop being your children. I grew up with amazing parents, a mum who was before her time, who was into meditation and yoga back when it was not scientifically based. And yeah, I'm an adventurer. I love traveling. I'm a reformed adrenaline junkie. What else do you want to know?
You're a what junkie?
A reformed adrenaline junkie. No drugs.
Okay. I got you.
No drugs. And I guess I'm an educator, an author, a health coach, and a nurse.
Wow. So what area of nursing did you special in? Was it just...
I am a Jill of all trades, so because I don't just do nursing, I do health coaching and educating and authoring. I am a Jill of all trades, so you can chuck me in any situation. I can go into emergency, I can go into a nursing home, anywhere that you need a nurse, and I am like a chameleon. I can fit in and do my thing.
Well, I want to commend you and love on you, because there's nothing like a nurse. You know, everybody's all excited about the doctor. It's not the doctor, it's the nurse. You know, you put up with the disgruntled patient, the verbal abuse. If there's any administration of medicine that's wrong, they blame it on the nurse. Your time, your energy, and then what you have to put yourself up against and then still come home and try to be balanced for your family. So you say that you have this technology.
Yes, I guess technology is probably not the perfect word. It's more techniques. So there's techniques. Okay. They're all techniques. And there's so many of them. I could do a session on each one. But, yeah, basically it's all about having self-compassion, learning to meditate, your yoga, being able to focus in onto your body and acknowledging and being authentic with your feelings. That's what it's all about. And education, understanding, having that knowledge. So another one of my passions is the Radical Remission Project that I often talk about. And it's how people recover from cancer, but they can also prevent from getting any kind of illness. And those techniques are what I'm all about.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
A little bit more about that. Okay, so have you heard of the Radical Remission Project or Spontaneous Remission? No. See, when I hear that, I'm just like, why doesn't the world know more about this?
Because they're waiting for you.
They are. Well, I can't take all the credit because so I'm being influenced by many, many people like Deepak Chopra, Donna Eden, Peter Levine, Bruce Lipton, Brene Brown's a favourite. But this particular thing is Kelly Turner did her dissertation. She's just an ordinary woman like you and me. She's American. And she did a study on all the people that recover from cancer, right? And the doctors say, that's not possible. How did that happen? And there's a criteria. So they have to live for 5 years. They have to have not used just normal everyday medicine. They have to have used other things. And she's got it down to 10 things, right? And these 10 things are prevention techniques as well as cures. So these people, there's thousands of them, and she studied them, which was a big deal. So she went and interviewed all these people, and she went through all the information and came up with 10 things that every single one of these people that survived beyond all expectation, you know, stage 4 cancers, told they had 2 weeks, and the doctors go, oh, that must just be a miracle, and they brush it off. They don't have the time for it, right? And she studied all these. And there's these 10 things. I can zoom through them for you.
Absolutely. Everybody wants,
yeah, you want to know what they are? So one of them is diet. So these people changed what they were eating. No criteria there. Like some people, like there's a huge, like that's a whole nother subject, right? But they changed their diet radically. So that's one. Feeling like you're in control of yourself, not having somebody telling you what to do. Mm. That's two. The third one is intuition, learning how to and being brave enough to follow your intuition.
Mm.
Big one. Herbs is another one. They all found some amazing herb or, you know, but no particular one. So if we knew that particular one, we'd be famous and change the world, but there's many, many, and everyone's different. Yeah. The other one, the next one is one that I really love and I focus on a lot with my clients, and it basically the one that saved me is releasing negative emotions. We all store things and those blockages cause us illnesses. Increasing your positive emotions. You know, we know a good laugh. We know that that is really, really important. Social support, huge one. That's why I run women's circles, which I didn't say at the beginning, but that's another huge one in what the world needs. Social support doesn't have to be women's circles, though. It can just be you have got a few good mates. Having a spiritual connection, and that can be a connection to the trees. There's no particular religion or anything involved in that. And finally, oh, no, there's two more. Having a reason to live, that's really important, even if it's an old person with everybody dead. If they've got a cat, they've got a reason to live. So that doesn't even have to be a person. And the final one is exercise. Exercise. Yeah.
Exercise. Well, you know, I would say at least 8 out of 10. I struggle with the diet because I'm a foodie. I love to eat. I love a good cocktail. I love a good beer, chilled, you know, and I'm a snacker. But I have been working on that. I have really disciplined myself. I give myself working hours now. Can you believe that? I work 10 to 7. That means that I can be with you in Australia and I can be with my American counterparts. And then by like 9:30, 10 o'clock, I'm tucked in the bed with Mr. Magnificent. So my circadian rhythm was really off. And that was making a huge impact. I mean, I'm seeing it all in through here. Because again, I was snacking during that time. As far as releasing stress, I do meditate, but as I've told others, meditation is very powerful because if you meditate and you're connected to source, you get downloads. And I was struggling with that because I was getting so many. I felt like I was overwhelmed and like I had to act on all of these things instead of having a conversation with source and saying, hey, give this to me in bite-sized pieces or having a conversation. So people don't understand that meditation is not just to be quiet and receive information, but it's also a way for you to create dialogue. When it comes to herbs, I love fresh herbs, but let me tell you my herb story. I go to China. I go to the herb store. They got an herb for everything. I get this one, I come home, I give myself a full cup of tea. Okay? Next thing I know, Naomi, I'm hallucinating.
Oh.
Because herbs are very powerful. They are medicine. And people don't realize that. My husband goes, well, what size cup did they give you? I said, oh, about this big. And here I am. Not one, but I've had two. So I was pretty loopy. So people have to do that. But again, these are alternatives. Brains, these are options. You know, she has been in the nursing profession, and she has seen what traditional medicines and traditional thoughts behind medicine has done to people. And I'm seeing more and more nurses moving to a holistic approach and a spiritual approach because they see life and death. They see the transition. What has all of this work really taught you about being a better human being?
Yeah, good question. But I just want to quickly go back to how you said you're only doing 8 out of 10 and food was one that you're not onto. Can I just point out that if you are enjoying that food with gusto and you love that food and you are mindful when you eat that food, it's okay. So just remember that. But yeah.
I went to a mindful eating dinner with a girlfriend. Nice. She took me and my daughter out. It was a 7-course meal. I kid you not. We were there for 2.5 hours eating. Yeah, because I had to, and people don't realize this too, chew your food. They say eat your liquid and drink your food. If you chew it, processing it, and you become one with it, and you, it's a big difference. It's a huge difference. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So back to the question, which was about what has my training in being in that environment taught.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess part of my journey was going through burnout and learning about compassion fatigue. And also recently I've learned a new terminology called moral injury, which it started in the Second World War with the people that when they were killing people, obviously it feels morally wrong, but it can also apply to people like me that are really born to be here to help and allow people to be cured and cure themselves, and yet we're at work pushing tablets down their throats and telling them to do things, have surgery and things that we don't actually agree with. So it's called moral injury. And so there's a lot of nurses out there like that. And so what do we just quit and, you know, let society keep doing what they're doing? No, that's not going to help. So go and learn as much as you can and integrate it as much as you can. So when somebody comes into emergency and they've got a bone sticking out of their leg, I'm not going to go tell them to meditate. That's not going to work.
Right. Yeah, just go and get in your zen.
Yeah. So I'm not stupid about it. Like we're intelligent. We know that medical science has done some amazing things and millions of people would be dead if it wasn't for the skills of some of these amazing doctors out there. But if only we could integrate more of the stuff we know. So like when that person's in there, can I apply some hypnosis techniques that I know to calm them down? Can nurses be trained, because a lot of us are, but many aren't, to understand that our own energetic being affects that person? So if I walk into them and go, oh my God, that bone sticking out of your leg, I've never seen anything so horrible. We would never do that. We would never do that because we're not trained to do that. We're trained to suppress, which is why I ended up getting sick. So we're not trained to do it, you know, we're trained to suppress. But if we can go so far as to acknowledge that as we walk into that room, if we can provide an energetic, healing, loving, calming energy for that person, their progress throughout their whole journey is going to be shorter. It's going to be better on the economy. That person is going to heal faster. And myself, I feel like I'm actually doing something as well, rather than repressing my own terror and fear at this person. Yeah, so that's just one of the things. And have I answered the question?
Well, you know, I hear so many nurses here in the United States really suffer with, you know, with stress. And it is awful because it is also, they need to learn resilience. You know, again, your heart charges. You just keep going. You're like the Energizer Bunny. You never take time. And there's a lot of bullying that I heard that goes in the nursing environment. I would have never thought that. Every nurse that I've ever come encounter with has always been cool, calm, and collective. but then I know that they have a trigger, you know? So it's so great that you see it from both sides and that you understand that what you pour into yourself, you also pour into your patients, and that helps their healing. So tell me about some of the other fun things that you love to do there in Australia when you're not doing the heavy lifting of, you know, trying to help people reduce their stress, or you're working as a nurse.
What else? Oh, so I'm a big hiker. I love going on hikes. If you ever see any of my Facebook posts, that's what I'm about. And I'm all about being out in energy. So when I do my one-on-one coaching, it's about being out in nature. So like, so if we need to do a releasing process, for example, we might write a word on a rock and we'll throw that into the ocean, but it'll be a whole ceremony to release, release whatever needs to be released. Yeah, so hiking is what I have to do.
I do that with fire. Yeah, so you do it with rocks. And I love rocks, so I'm going to have to try that. Next time I go to the beach, I'm going, that's a great release.
Yeah, there's so many fun things that you can do. But connecting with nature will, another one of the big techniques that I'm really passionate about is stabilizing your nervous system and learning how to become in tune. So like even right here, right now, I know that we have a international global audience, so I am quite nervous, but being aware of that and acknowledging that, step one.
Absolutely.
Not ignoring it, and being aware of your physiology, and I'm aware that I'm probably talking a bit too fast.
No.
But that's okay.
See, that's what happens. It's that neuro-linguistic programming. It's that conversation that we have in our head. It's that if I could have, would have, should have, I'm not going to be enough, I'm not perfect, Nobody wants perfection. I know I don't, because you know what perfection can be? It can also be a sign of insecurity. What I like is authenticity. What I like is originality. What I like is innovation. That's what really plants the seeds and make an impact, because again, there again is that two-way dialogue. And I think you're doing a phenomenal job, and no one would have ever known that I was your first until you brought it up. But let me ask you something. You got three daughters. I got one. What in the world, number one, do they think about what you're doing? Because kids, you know, mama's on one, she hoo-hoo, you know. They don't get it until they get it. And then number two, what kind of conversations do you have with them about balance and being harmonious and living their best life?
Yeah, beautiful question. So yeah, I love my three daughters so much. They're all quite different. So my oldest is nearly 30 and my youngest is just 18. And then I have one in between who's 21. And I think they have completely grown up with my ways. So as I said, my mum was before her time. So we were meditating and doing yoga as children. So as my children were growing up, they were, told to meditate before they go to bed, and I would provide them with hypnosis tracks. And I've gone back in the past and said to them, you know that time you tidied your room? I hypnotized you to do that. And they're like, yeah, wow, Mum, I wondered how you did that. So that was fun. But, yeah, I think our children do often still repeat the mistakes we make. My oldest daughter is working way too hard at the moment, and she knows it. And, so just because you know everything doesn't mean that you are a master at applying it. We are all works in progress, going on, you know, continuing on. But they also come on a hike with us every year where we go for 4 or 5 nights. We have to carry everything on our backs, no phones. We all bond together and we have to take whatever food, sometimes water, and that's it. So we all get back to nature. We get a regrounding. And get together like that. But no, my children aren't perfect. They are just a completely amazing children. And I'm not exactly sure what they think of what I do, but I think they're pretty proud of me.
Well, they should be, you know. And what you did is you have a perfect goddess moment when you do that. I had a goddess moment. We did some drumming in a drum circle. And I tell you, the fairies came out. There was fire, there was screeching, there was reiki, there was gongs, there was chanting. From 2 years old to 92 years old. It was amazing. And it changed the whole trajectory of my message, my mission, and my purpose. I thought that my frequency needed to go up to a higher pitch, but it actually needed to be brought down and grounded. Children, My daughter is absolutely amazing too. But I tell you, I'll tell her something, and she'll say, "That's not what Miss Naomi said. That's not what she said." You know, so it's just how they process their information. What is your ideal client? Because everybody's not going to be your client. And the reason why I say that, it's not you. Sometimes we don't connect energetically. Sometimes the client doesn't want to do the work. They want you to come in with some pixie dust and just sprinkle it, and then everything is wonderful. Sometimes it needs longer than what you think. Sometimes people just aren't ready. What's your ideal client?
So my ideal client is, I guess, somebody that is a few stages behind where I am at, because I can show them everything I've learned. So the ideal client would generally be a carer, somebody who's been through or going through some kind of burnout, which is generally a nurse, but it can be a mother, anyone from the caring profession, because if you can apply that caring that you have given to everyone else to yourself, it sounds so simple, but it's just not.
It's not.
So, yeah, that's my ideal client. Yeah, somebody who is also open to, I've said to a few of my clients, are you okay with a bit of weird stuff? And they're like, yeah, bring it on. So as long as people are okay with weird stuff. Because energy is hard to articulate how you move and heal with energy.
And weird is good. Weird is sexy, actually. You know, who wants to be ordinary, especially after this COVID thing? You know, what has that taught you about you being somewhat isolated, you know, being in this nursing environment, all the paranoia that's going on, and now the thawing out? What has it taught you about yourself?
The whole COVID thing. Yeah, I guess one thing I'm extremely grateful that we've really been quite removed from it, but there's a little secret part of me that has actually enjoyed the slowdown, not the illness, the death, the devastation. No, if I take that on, I will cry. But the whole external thing of the world slowing down, we live out in the country and just having less aeroplanes fly over, nature, we have so many more birds. It's incredible. Like, it's changed the environment because we don't have as many planes. And yes, your question was about me. It has also helped me to learn that I need to simplify my life. I want to simplify my life, which I am doing. But I think if everybody can bring in a little bit of that, a little bit less in our lives, so not having to drive to work to and from 5 days a week, staying at home maybe, where you get that extra half an hour to look at the sky while you have your cup of tea. So it's probably taught me about calming down. I don't watch media, so I rely on my husband, who's a media junkie, to tell me what's going on. So I get his kind of filter, and I'm on Facebook, but a lot of that stuff is not very...
Sometimes not healthy. You know, my mother says exactly. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one, and they all stink. So, you know, I lost my mother about 6 or 7 weeks ago.
Yes, I'm sorry to hear that.
And you're right, but you know what I'm going to tell you, Naomi? It was a blessing in disguise. I got to see the transition of spirit leaving the body. I got to love. I got to nurture. I got to care. My mother lived with us for 30 years. We all got along, you know, no problem. We were peanut butter and jelly. I didn't have those unanswered questions. I didn't have the what ifs. My mother was pretty progressive for her time too, born in 1929. So I resonate with you when it comes to being a daughter as well as being a mother. What this COVID thing has taught me, again, is to try to be more of a minimalist. Now, girl, I'm still working on it. I found like 6 or 7 pairs of shoes that had never been worn. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed of myself because I was hoarding. It's taught me to be patient. You know, I see people that go from a flicker to a flame. I mean, they're just waiting for an opportunity to attack. You know, and that's because I think they have a lot of built up anxiety and stress that they haven't dealt with. It's also taught me to save some money. Because I'm not running out, going to lunch all the time, eating things I shouldn't, or having that cocktail that I shouldn't. So it's taught me a lot, too. But it's taught me to, again, to love even harder and to appreciate every single brain like you on my show, every single person that listens to my show. You know, just the postman, I appreciate him. I appreciate Mark Zuckerberg for having this platform. Could you imagine if he didn't have a Facebook, or we didn't have a Twitter or an Instagram, even with all the noise, how many people would have really, you know, probably really gone off the deep end?
Yeah, we're so blessed to have that form of social connection.
Absolutely.
Social connection is such an important thing, and it's like the rest of life. You really need to filter it and focus on where you want to be, not just let the stuff come in.
Right.
A bit like the way you guide your life. You need to make those choices, or things will come to you, and they're not the ones that come to you are not always the best ones.
Yeah, they'll be a hot mess. Absolutely. Mm. They'll be a hot mess. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you. I want them to tap into your reservoir of dreams and possibilities and love. I think it's overflowing. It's something that we can never get enough of. You know, our well will never run dry. We can continue to replenish with working with people like you that get it. You know, and like you said, you're still even in that process yourself. And that's what I like. I want to go on the journey with you. I want to hike with you.
Yeah, come to Australia.
Oh, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. You know, sooner than you guys think, I'm coming.
Oh. Exciting. So the reason I wrote my book, which you did ask me to hold up. So
oh, yes,
my
book absolutely.
My book is called Stress Solutions. So they're not just solutions. They are solutions with soul. And the reason I wrote that is because my journey from taking many medications to taking zero medications is in this book, how you can remove all the medications in your life. Not everybody can, and I acknowledge that, but I was lucky enough to be able to. And I was coaching all these people, and I got a bit sick of telling them the same thing over and over again. So now I say, please read my book and then come and see me, because then you'll know most of the things I know as well. And I've put years of research into this book and gotten a lot of this information. It isn't just stuff I've made up. It's all science-based and from people that have got all the empirical evidence to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
And because I keep my life pretty simple, I do have a website, which is www.lifesoulcoaching. I'm not highly active on that. I do have two Facebook sites. One of them is under my personal name. I generally don't let people join that unless I've had one conversation with them, but I'm happy to have a conversation with people. I also have a business site, which is the same as the name of my book. My business site is Stress Solutions. And I'm just about to put out, it's still a couple of months in the pipeline, a course, and I'll be needing some test subjects to make sure it's what people want. So if people connect with me and want to be one of my test subjects, I would love that.
Well, we would love to be a part of that, because it's very important to have the beta group, because what we think is a deliverable is maybe not what people want. You know, it's never going to be the way that it was December 31st of 2019. 2020 has changed the whole blueprint for everybody for a lifetime. And I welcome the opportunity to have a conversation. I'm going to see if I can rustle up some of my brains to go in and take a look at it and to connect with you. I thank you so much for being here on The Edge. You are an amazing guest. You are a gift in so many ways. So I love you being here on The Edge. Here's to you, my sister.
To you, yes. And I think we attract and reflect those like us. So Thank you.
And it's so important to, you know, just try to stay clear. Now, brains, you know, we don't give you any, sell you a bag of goods, because stress is a part of life, but managing it, recognizing it, and sometimes making it work for your good, because that can happen too. And check your medications. Go in and Google them. Talk to your doctor. You know, if you're on something, stay on it until you find an alternative, but know that there's alternatives out there too. All right? So thank you so much. I appreciate you being here on The Edge. Come back and see me real, real soon, okay? Oh,
thank you, April.
Book, brains. I'm going to put it down at the bottom. She said that it's out of print because it's been an overwhelming demand. So just go ahead and put your order in, and Amazon will print some more. Okay? All right. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, April.
Bye-bye.